Can you say the letter C?
Hunt Files. All right, jump right into it. Got a fun one this for this week. Good buddy of mine, long time coming as far as podcast goes. We've got a lot in common. Our dad's got a lot in common, a lot of history there. So this is going to be fun. Beforehand, let's jump right into who makes the podcast go as far as the wheels of this operation. So Grizzly Coolers, you guys hear me talk all the time. Summertime, it's hot. Cole and I have had some days where it's been the 90s, 100 with the heat index. I go from working with him straight into farming. Man, that Grizzly 15 hard and the Drifter 20. Pack some cold beers, some water, an energy drink, whatever you need. Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies, honestly, it's been great to work with them. Great people made right there in Iowa. Code WCB10, or I'm sorry, code WCB to get you 10% off. WCB10 is our Black Ovis code. Right now, I'm really pushing that arrow ID hard because I know there's a ton of you guys out there that are wanting to build arrows and either A, don't like it, or B, you don't have the time. Or maybe it's a combination of both. I like building arrows. I know when Cole has time, he likes to build arrows, but here's the deal. Everybody's busy. The cool thing about the arrow ID is you go on blackovis.com. You can pick your shafts, pick your fletching, pick however you want to build your arrow. Three fletching, four flet, whatever. And within a week to 10 days, they'll have them shipped to you. Done. You screw field points in, shoot them, sight your bow in, screw broadheads on, and go. Pretty legit. I've been to that facility. I've seen the people behind the scenes as far as how they're building these arrows and the intricate system that they've got. To be honest with you, it's probably as good, if not better, than any arrow building I've seen. I would have to say that most of them in there probably build a better arrow than myself, and I consider myself pretty good at it because I'm pretty anal when it comes to stuff like that. But they are very, very damn good at what they do, and specifically that's their job. That is all they do is they build arrows, cut shafts, like that's their job. So check that out, Arrow ID through Black Ovis. I can't say a whole lot, but they've got some new gear, Black Ovis gear. It's going to be coming down the pipe. I should have it in another week or two to do some testing with it, but just keep an eye on that. For early season hunts into maybe September, October, this stuff's going to be pretty legit. I better be quiet so I don't get yelled at because I've already probably said too much, but just keep an eye out on Black Ovis for some of their new apparel releases coming up. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, Hunter's Box Club. Really good box this month. Shout out to Devin Leonard, good buddy of mine. First box is still free, $29.99, I believe, still shipped to your door. You're going to get a t-shirt and usually a couple little trinket items in there to sweeten up the deal. So check that out, huntersboxclub.com. And last but not least, we got Novix Outdoors with my favorite, Novix Tree Stands. As far as hanging and banging goes, that's kind of the style I've morphed into. I'd say I do that 75% of the time. For me, right now is when I start kind of thinking about, okay, early season, where am I, you know, what am I wanting to do? Where's bucks at? I've already got some targeted bucks, starting to figure out game plans. I bounce around a lot early. I don't go into timber, so I'm bouncing around field edges and bouncing around right on the inside edges and corners and stuff. Hardly ever am I just in a lock on and it just stays there. I'm always playing the wind. You know, those bucks are a little bit, I guess you could say, more lazy than what they will be in another month or two, come into, you know, October, November, because they haven't been hunted. But it's still a game that, you know, the wind is do or die on everything. So that mobile setup, as far as with Novix sticks, I ran four minis and I ran four of the long double steps last year. Both of those are great. The Hilo, you know, that was kind of my go-to. So check those out if you're looking for a really, really lightweight mobile setup. Can't go wrong with anything that the good guys over there at Novix make right there in Illinois. With that being said, the man of the hour, the myth, the legend himself, if you're a Sandy Valley or surrounding area listener, man, you're probably jumping up and down right now whenever I say this dude's name. He's a local legend. Owner and operator of Advanced Pressure Washing, which, by the way, we're going to get into that. I work for Cole now. But with that being said, Cole Sycophus, my man, on the mic.
What's up?
How's it going, brother?
Very good. Very good. We had a good day today, and glad to be on the podcast now. I would say, you said the man, the myth, the legend. I was sitting there thinking about it. I think I'm more myth than legend.
That's okay. We covered it all, you know? Yeah. You never know where someone might run into you. You're kind of here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
So a little background on this before we dive into this, because this is going to be a really cool topic. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. I hear all the time, you know, man, I wish I could hunt more. I wish I could have more of a hunting lifestyle. I wish I could, you know, there's always an excuse or something that's holding me back. This podcast, what Cole has done, it's going to, I think, be an eye opener for a lot of people. It's kind of like the American dream mixed with the hunting dream all put together in one. But a little background. So our dads, your dad, Cole, and my dad, I mean, they've been good buddies for a long time. Your dad grew up hunting pretty much all the farms that I hunt right now. Your dad's already found big sheds on, killed big deer on my home farm, a lot of my family farms, a lot of the farms we lease. Actually, when I was a kid, I can remember, you know, Cole's dad, Rob, and his uncle, Greg. I mean, they're local, legit local legends.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, in the shed game, in the whitetail world. I mean, just throw some numbers out. I mean, how many on the wall between those two? Probably over 55, 60, probably between the two at least. I mean,
between the two of them, I think the last time we counted the mounts in my dad's garage was like 40 something. Just my dad's.
And that's your dad's.
Yeah. And then my uncle, he's probably, oh man, I'm sure he's got another 30 or something.
Okay. So I lowballed that. So, yeah. So we're talking probably 70 plus. And these aren't. These are not, 20 of these aren't 120, 125 inch, but I mean, I would say the majority of these deer are deer that anybody and their brother's going to kill. I mean, and a lot of them are giants. I mean,
yeah, especially these last couple of years, both of them, have just been doing really good. And I think if you like looked at the wall and took an average, I bet like, your average is 145 plus.
Yeah, which is between crazy. Between that many heads.
Consistently year after year. Yeah.
It's not a matter of when I'm going to get a text from one of those two. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when I'm going to get a text from one of those two that they killed one, which has been really cool. Over the years, you know, I've got to hang out. I've always been good buddies with Cole, but got to hang out, you know, with your dad and Greg. And I mean, it's crazy. You know, kind of how it's come full circle now. You know, you and I are good buddies, and now we work together every day and whatnot. But, you know, kind of just give people your background, Cole, because, I mean, you know, you grew up, obviously, with your dad and your uncle, you know, in this, you know, they were crazy, or still are crazy, but crazy, crazy, crazy about sheds and big whitetails. That's just, I mean, that's all you probably heard about growing up. So just walk us through a little bit of what life was like with those, you know, with having those two, because it's, you know, people on the podcast are going to listen and think, man, that's cool. You know, those guys are really into whitetails. Honestly, that doesn't even do it justice. I mean, I've heard your dad talk about quitting jobs, you know, relationships not working out. I mean, you know, a lot of sacrifices and a lot of things were literally based off of and made because of the love for deer sheds and hunting deer, you know, which is crazy to think about, but it's just the passion that they have.
Yeah, I can't express enough when I talk to the people about this. It's like, I can't express enough how fortunate I am to have both of those in my network, both my uncle and my dad, and even a lot of their friends too, all the people that have helped raise me. I'm so unbelievably fortunate because those guys both eat, sleep, and breathe.
Oh yeah,
whitetail hunting, and more specifically, whitetail hunting than anything else. They both manage property. They both consistently kill big deer. They both, I mean, I don't even know what the word is for how into it they are. I think my dad has. I'm pretty sure he has never missed a gun season his entire life.
I would bet
no work,
that.
No school, no nothing has ever came in the way of that.
Yeah. Obsession is a good word for most people, but that doesn't even describe, honestly, the level they're at, because there's a lot of people I know that are obsessed with hunting or obsessed with, but they're on a whole nother.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
And I think too, it helps out a lot for them and myself to learn. You got to think, when they were growing up, they didn't have the resources we have to learn what right. we know. Like, you, if you have a problem with hunting, you're trying to figure something out, you can go to a WCB podcast and learn something. Yep. You can go to YouTube. Google,
YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah, there's so many resources to learn. And I hear all the stuff my dad told me. He's like, yeah, well, this wasn't working, so we tried this. I'm like, well, how'd you think, like, what'd you Google to find that out? You know? And he's like, well, we just sat there and stared at it and drunk a beer until we figured something out, you know?
It's good philosophy.
Yeah, and I think about that all the time. Like, their mindset when they were learning everything about whitetail hunting, just, I mean, you have to know what they know at this level in this day and age.
So much trial and error. I can remember being a little kid in the barn, so we were still milking cows then, and I can vividly remember your dad and uncle walking in, and they would take milk jugs and they would fill up cow piss, and they would use that in scrapes. They would use that as like cover scent on their boot, because around all the farms, you got cow shit all over the fields and you got cow piss. I mean, we use that fertilizer. So nowhere is a whitetail around anything that we got not used to smelling a cow.
Yeah.
I mean, cow shit, the smell of a cow, cow piss, and it's very distinct.
Yep.
And I can vividly remember them doing that. And I remember they left, and I'm like, I mean, I'm pretty little. I'm probably, I don't know, between 8 and 10. I can remember asking my dad, like, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing with that? And then he explained it to me, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like little, you know. And then as a couple years go by, and I'm actually learning now. Now I'm bow hunting on my own. Now I'm doing, and I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. Like, then I find, like, now I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm doing that kind of stuff. Like, I'm rubbing my boots and shit before I go hunt. I'm, collecting cow urine. And I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. And they didn't read that anywhere. Like, they come up, like, that wasn't some, hey, I was on Instagram and this guy was showing a video collecting cow piss. Like, they learned that on their own. They come up with that, which is crazy. Because it's genius, but, like, you know, that just, they're like, hey, how can we mask our scent? How can we, you know, what can we do here that'll be something, you know, pee smells different if we put this in. So I remember your dad talking about they experimented with it in scrapes. Sometimes it worked great, sometimes it didn't. But cover scent was the main thing that it was used for, you know.
And even something to make them stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just,
you know,
hang
I mean?
Out there for a
like,
second.
Hey, what is this?
Right.
Bam, there's your shot, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to little tips and tricks.
Oh,
and one specifically that stands out to me is, I remember a couple years ago, I hung this stand and I kept getting winded every single time. And I'm like, man, I don't understand. It's a northeast wind. It should be good. These deer should not be smelling me. And my dad's like, well, what about that spoil behind you? Like, what's that wind doing once it gets to that? I'm like,
right.
I don't know, man. That's behind me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, sitting there trying to figure it out, and he was like, well, here, we used to do this, and pulled out some smoke bombs.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, just go over there, light a smoke bomb, and follow the smoke.
Yep.
You can see where the smoke goes, you know. Yep. Do it on a northeast wind, do it on a west wind, do it on an east wind, so you know what that wind's doing. You can just watch the smoke. And I was like, oh my gosh, how have I not seen that on TV? How have I not seen that in a magazine?
Was it hitting that spoil bank and then coming back?
It was wrapping around.
It
would hit that, wrap around, and come right back out to the front of the trail.
Yep.
And they was pinning them at 25, 30 yards.
Yep. So, all right. So you're little Cole, you're growing up, you are surrounded by thoughts and dreams of big deer with your dad and your uncle 24/7. So give us a breakdown. At what age did you start to think, like, man, I want to have an outdoor lifestyle. I want to be able to, you know, I'm going to be able to hunt and fish and like, when did the wheel start to turn for you to where you're like, yeah, just the normal job isn't going to work for me. And that was hard. You know, I've heard your uncle had his own business. I've heard your dad, he's told me, dude, I've gave up jobs. I've quit jobs because it just wasn't a good fit for me. My lifestyle, you know, finally then your dad gets into a business where, man, this fits my gig perfect. Like, this works. But he's, you know, I've heard him talk about it took multiple jobs to figure that out. So at what point did you hit the stage of like, shit, man, I'm the same way. Like, I got to figure something out, because just the normal job where you get 2 weeks paid and you work 8-3, 8-4, like, when did it kind of start to click, like, yeah, it's not going to work for me. Like, it just isn't going to be it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wasn't, you hear these kids say, like, oh, I eat, sleep, and breathe bow hunting my whole life. It's always done. I grew up a trapper. Mm-hmm. If I'm being completely honest, I was still into it, but I wasn't near as into it as I am now.
Right.
As I was growing up.
Right. I'd agree with that, because I knew you in high school, and you liked to hunt.
Dude, but I loved to skateboard. I was this big skateboarder for a while.
Right, I remember that. Good wrestler.
Wrestled in high school. Yep. Just a little bit of everything. I loved to... I think that's what a lot of people do when they're younger. You try a bunch of different shit to figure out, like, what you love and what you don't love. But
right. A lot of irons in the fire all the time.
Hunting was always something, like, I really enjoyed, but it wasn't until a little bit, maybe even, like, senior year or year after senior year, that I was like, you know, everything else has just kind of came and went. Hunting has always been here.
Yep.
And
it's a constant in your life.
Yes. Yep. And as I got older, I started buying my own groceries.
Yep.
And you realize the benefit you get through the meat. Like, now that's more important to me than shooting the deer. Absolutely. Or shooting anything, is the being able to fill my freezer. But
especially in today's world. I mean, beef prices are already going through the roof. And then you look at pork. I mean, it's if you're buying all your meat and you're feeding, I mean, hell, look at just you by yourself. The difference between what you need in a week's time to live and what I need for me and the two boys that I'll have half of every week. Oh, I mean, it's a couple $100 difference in what I need versus what you I mean. I couldn't imagine having to buy meat, because both of them, especially my youngest, he'll go through meat like it's going out of style. Easton's still a little, he likes some, doesn't like some. My youngest, I mean, you give him a freaking elk steak and he'll eat the whole damn thing. He'll be ready to throw up 20 minutes later because he's so full, but like they love it. Whereas that, you know, instead of me just feeding me, it's now I got two little guys too. So
I can honestly say, like, I feel like a lot of people say it, but they're still like, oh, I bought a pound of burger here and there. But I can legitimately say that I have not bought store-bought burger in probably a couple years.
And I could vouch for that, because I mean, I work with you every day. I know what you're,
unless
you know,
it's like I go to a restaurant, I get a burger or something. Sure, it's a beef burger, but I eat about a pound to a pound and a half of venison in some way or form almost every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yep. So now you get out of high school, and so you worked at, you had the same job that I had, not the same department, but right out of college when I was still getting everything figured out, I went up and worked at MK Morse, and you ended up working there too. Now that was what, right after high school, which it's a factory job. You know what I mean? It's kind of your standard, you know, hey, you're going to make this much. You're going to get this every week. You're going to be here every day. So walk me through that. You're doing that. And the job you had up there was a pretty good gig. It was kind of just you on your own. You could listen to podcasts. You kind of had your own deal going on, which was cool. When did it click though? Like, man, this isn't for me. Like, it's just not. This just isn't it.
Yeah. So, as Clint said earlier, I'm the owner of Advanced Pressure Washing. It's a power washing exterior cleaning company here in Northeast Ohio. Backtrack a little bit. There for a while, actually, before I worked at MK Morris, I worked for an oil and gas company as a roustabout.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yep. Yeah. And, that was right out of high school, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Roustabout. We worked, I forgot, like, about that. Yep.
30 hours a day.
Yep.
Yeah. And, but while doing that, I was in charge of we were power washing the derricks before they tear them down, because you get all the oil and grease and shit off of there before they go down the road to their next drill site.
Yep.
And I was watching what these guys were doing, and I'm like, man, I could do this. Like,
oh yeah,
I could do this way better. Yeah. And so, long story short, I built my first power washing trailer while I worked there for that company. And like, right about the time I finished my trailer and everything, I ended up having a little bit of a falling out with the company and parted ways with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, perfect. I got my trailer built. I'm going to go right in and I'm going to steal all your work. And I quickly got humbled and realized that I'm vastly underqualified to just jump right into the oil field. Hey, hire me.
Right.
You know, some 21, 22-year-old kid that I really didn't know anything about. Qualifications. I had no insurance.
Running off Bush Light and piss and vinegar.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I was just looking for my next dollar and a good time. And
Man, I got $800. It's a Friday night. I'm freaking rich.
Yeah. I remember reaching out to somebody. I was one of the oil and gas companies. I called them, like, hey, you guys need any power washing? And they're like, Well, yeah, possibly we can put you on a vendor's list. What's your insurance policy? Like, I don't know, I'm working on it. Yeah. He's like, we need like $3 million umbrella. I'm like, oh, well.
Well, shit. Okay, well, I'm going to get off here now.
Yeah, so I got humbled pretty quickly on that. And
honestly, though, that was probably good for you. Because it opens, I mean, many, many times in my early 20s, I had things happen in the outdoor industry where it was, wow, yeah, holy shit, I'm a small, small fish in a big, big pond type of thing. And and it makes you really realize how important it is to work at something and grind and learn the trade, whatever you're doing, because there's a lot of other people out there that are above and beyond what you're doing. You know, you might but there is.
Yeah, and to fast forward a little bit, I could go in so many different directions with it, but to fast forward a little bit, I didn't ultimately end up working at MK Morris. I still had my first power washing trailer that I built set up. I wasn't using it, and I needed money, so I found myself at MK Morris. And
now, what were you doing there at MK? Just so people, because it's a factory, it's a shop factory job. You know, like I was running laser welders when I was there. I was running two laser welders, and I was welding. Pretty much from start to finish, afternoon shift, even did about 6 months of midnights, which was absolutely fucking awful. In my opinion, the only good thing about it was I could get home and hunt all day in the rut, but then you were so tired. Like it was a wicked, wicked.
Dude, I was like 22 or 23 and I was working an afternoon shift.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just I drank.
I was going to say, being that bad. Age, you're...
it was bad.
Lot of Bush latte.
You get off work at like 11 p.m.
yeah, you got nothing better to do.
And you don't have to be at work again until 3 p.m. the next day.
It's heading to the bar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Every night. It was not good. Luckily, that did not last. It was probably a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. But, I worked there. I did... man, I'd be lying if I said I could remember the name of the department that I was in. But we heat treated the tips of, so we made bandsaw blades.
Right.
And we heat treated the tips of the blades, tempered them to create the hardness in them.
Yep.
You know, and that's what I did. I was in my own department. I was on a day shift job.
Yep.
And I didn't have to talk to nobody. Didn't have to deal with nobody. It was honestly kind of great. They treated me very well there.
I was going to say, it's a good place to work if that's a job for, you know, if that's the standard, hey, I want a day shift, whatever, I'm going to go. You know what I mean?
I would recommend anybody to apply there if they were looking for a job.
Right. Yep.
Northeast Ohio, Canton area. They did. They treated us well. And I hear they're still doing the same thing. But the thing that happened with me, and I think... I don't know. I honestly don't remember if I saw a commercial or something for a power washing company doing residential, like house washing, driveway, surface cleaning, stuff like that. I don't remember what exactly I saw, but I was like, hey, I got a trailer. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
I can do that.
Yep. So I did the first couple jobs. I grabbed the trailer on my off days from working at the factory.
I was going to say, you're still got your factory job. But you're now dipping your toes in the water.
Hey, maybe I can go make a couple extra bucks on the side. I had zero money management skills at the time. And so any dollar I made, I used very quickly. And
at the local bar and tavern.
Some local, some not local. All over. And
maybe a strip club or two. I mean, hey, they need money too. They're putting kids through college and different things.
Yeah. You know, it is what just trying to support people. Hey, it wasn't, had nothing to do with the women.
Friendly people helping friendly people.
That's right. And so I started doing a little house washing on the side. And at the time, dude, I'd take that green tip on that power washer and I would just beat the shit out of people's siding.
Oof.
Just because I was like, this is the way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And
mind you, green tip, in the power washing world, that's a high pressure. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can ruin a house real quick with that.
If you ever drove down the road and you saw somebody's house and it looked like Zorro.
Zorro, yeah.
It looks like the Zorro marks on the side of the house. That's somebody that used way too much pressure.
That was Cole in his early 20s.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. I hope they don't call me. About that same time, I started learning I just started learning about podcasts, and I kind of slowed down on the drinking a little bit and focused a little bit more. At that time, that's when I started doing the whole bodybuilding thing for a while there.
Yep.
And I just got into this, like, not spiritual bullshit by any means, but just, like, started focusing more on myself and where I want to be and my goals and everything. Right. And started reading books and whatnot. And I remember going in to, I was going into work on midnights, and I set the bands up to where I could get them midnights to run.
Ugh, those were the
and
worst.
There just wasn't as much management at the time.
Oh, yeah. So right.
You could get away with kind of whatever you wanted. So I would set my machine up to where I'm like, okay, if I set this one, and this line up all at the same time, I'd have like 22 minutes where I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
And I know as long as I can keep them in the corner of my eye, they're not going to fuck up. Yep. So I was reading books, and I was reading Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week. I think it's a 4-Hour Work Week.
Yeah.
And that book just lit a fire in my ass to kind of try to take the business somewhere else. And I was still on the fence about it. And then me and another buddy started talking about possibly wanting to do a Western hunt. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling them I want to take a vacation. And they're like, well, we can give you that week off, but it's going to have to be the following week because you can't – we need your department filled that week.
I was so like, well, at this point, this is when things are starting to click. Hey, I want to take it now.
Like, yeah, I didn't. You know. I was so new to like the whole like factory work, I guess, the standard work life. I was like, wait, you're going to tell me when I can't this time, go on vacation?
But now you're going to tell me when I can take it. Wait a second.
Yeah, it just did not sit well with me at all. None whatsoever. And so I just started, man, that between like not being able to take the vacation when exactly I wanted to take it and then reading these books about automation and building systems and actually turning a hobby into a business. And I learned so much more about power washing. I found out about soft washing opposed to using high pressure. It's just you're able to do jobs easier, faster, and it gets yields a better result. From the job. So
so things are starting. So now at this point in Cole's mind, I'm guessing wheels are starting to spin on, hey, I want to be able to hunt and do what I love to do and what I want to do. Hunting's been a constant in my life. I want to be able to enjoy and hey, when I want to go, I want to be able to go. Not, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, do you mind if I use my week that I earned this week? Oh, well, no, you got to do it. You know, at this point now, I feel like the gears are grinding on, man, this just might not be for me.
Yeah, I started looking at like, okay, what do I want out of the rest of my life here? And although I was chasing a dollar, I realized it was more freedom than money, you know? You see it all the time in books and everything that rich people have a lot of money. Wealthy people have freedom. And that is the ultimate goal, is freedom.
Yep.
You know, you can live comfortably. If you wanted to, you could live comfortably on 25, 30 grand a year and have more freedom and be happy as hell.
Yep.
Or you could live on 120,000 a year.
But be strapped. Have
no freedom and hate your life. Yep. Like, yeah, freedom is what makes people happy. And that balance, that ratio to a little bit of money, a little bit of freedom.
Yep.
That's a solid balance to reach for. And that's what I started looking at. And so I did the numbers one day. I was like, okay, after taxes and everything, what do I make at MK Morris at the end of the day? And I was like, okay, I need to only, if I wash like two houses, I'll match what I make in a full paycheck a week or 2 weeks or forget whatever it was at MK Morris. So I was like, all right, I'm out. I just up and quit one day. It was kind of a very random thing, but I should have done it. Looking back, I should have done it years before.
So at this point now, the, hey, freedom of I want to be able to do, you know, because right now at this point in the game, you are just kind of getting into Western hunting because whitetails and turkeys, it's in sheds you've done your whole life. You know, you're starting to, I can remember you in early 20s. I was really rolling on Western hunts at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know by any means what the fuck I was doing, but I had probably 4 or 5 solo hunts under my belt, a couple semi-guided Western hunts. I had killed a bull at that, by that point in time in New Mexico, shot a lion, was chasing the mule deer thing around hot and heavy. And I remember, you know, I could tell you, we would, you know, Cole and I talked a lot, I could tell you were getting the Western bug. You were getting very interested and intrigued in what was going on. And the biggest thing I kept telling you was, man, at this point in time, I was working at the County Highway Department. Now, we got a lot of time off there, and we could use it whenever we wanted. And I was burning a ton of time in August and September going on these hunts. I was hunting Kentucky Velvet Bucks early in the season. I'd hunt mule deer. You know, so I was going from whitetails to mule deer to elk, you know, kind of antelope bouncing around. And the biggest thing I kept telling Cole was time. You got to have time. You can't expect to go out there in 5 days and get it done. You know, you need time. You need time. And I could tell that was resonating with you on, dude, if I want to do this, a week just isn't enough. It's not long enough. You know, mind you, you've already been told from a job, hey, you can't go this week. So now you've got that in the back of your head, too. So you're like, all right, fuck it. I'm out of here.
Yep.
Going on my own. I'm starting a business. It's going to be the American dream with the intent of I'm going to have the freedom and I'm going to hunt when I want. I'm going to do what I want to do. Transition that now into, okay, you start your business. Now you've got time because this business really slows down when hunting season basically comes in.
Yeah, it all kind of came full circle with me as I was taking the business full time. And I was still, I had this in the back of my mind before I quit too, but I was, you know, I wanted something that was going to support the future that I wanted, which included a lot of hunting.
Right.
And you look at the power washing industry, we're good here in Northeast Ohio. We got a solid, maybe eight and a half, 9 months, if it were lucky, of power washing. And then winter comes around and we shut down.
Yeah, that's the end.
We shut down for the winter. So I was like, well, perfect. I'll shut down and hunt all winter. And for the first couple of years of doing it, it worked out great because I did not understand money management. I didn't understand putting money aside, setting up for retirement. I didn't understand all of that. So when I would make $400 or $500 for the week, I'm like, sweet. I got beer money. Yep. I got gas money.
I got hot
money. I can
money.
Take the next 2 weeks off yep. if I wanted to because I'm fucking rich.
Yeah.
You
right,
know?
Right.
And
whenever really.
Oh, dude, I get hit hard
yeah.
with the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned about taxes and everything else
yeah.
after about that second, third year. And boy, it slapped me in the face. But
That's a bad 3-letter word.
Oh, it still slaps me in the face every year. But I saw, after I did that, I saw the freedom that I now had. And I was like, okay, well, now I can kind of venture into these Western hunts like I wanted to. And
yep.
and this is where I think my story kind of resonate with a lot of the working class individuals that how I kind of transitioned this into setting myself up to be able to hunt whenever I wanted.
Yep.
I mean...
And travel around, you know, you're in a lot of states. You do
yeah.
a lot of traveling, as do I, you know, so it's...
Yeah, yeah, last year I spent, Logan and I spent like 22, 23 days in Colorado,
right.
plus a
right.
mule deer hunt, and just...
And most people are lucky if they got a week to go do that,
oh,
realistically.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, you guys damn near took off for a month and said...
We pretty much did.
Hey, we're heading west.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was awesome, and so... Basically, what I did was I still didn't have a whole lot of money. I just had what I was making. And I built the power washing business to, like, a lot of people mess up. I think they think, oh, well, I need to, if I want to hunt for the rest of my life, per se, whatever. So it could be any hobby. You use hunting. Somebody said, oh, I want to hunt for the rest of my life. I need to be a professional hunter, and I need to have a... whatever, say a TV show.
Yeah.
When in reality, there's another route that a lot of people can go to hunt every single day if they
mm-hmm.
wanted to.
Yep.
That has nothing to, do,
nothing
with,
to do with
yeah.
That.
And so many people miss that route, but I think that's actually the easier route to go. Instead of building a job inside of the passion you enjoy.
Right.
I think for me anyways, I think the better route to go is to find an industry or find mm-hmm. something you don't mind doing, maybe even you love doing it, just not as a hobby or a passion, but find something that supports your passion.
Your passion, yep.
Yeah, which my passion is hunting, Western more than lately, Western bow hunting. But yeah, find something that is going to support the passion mm-hmm. that you want to do. not jump into the passion and try to look for income that way.
Right.
You know, I've got the power washing business that gives me my winters off. It allows me to save up and budget for whatever. Say I want to take a month off, I can look at my numbers and go, okay, I need to budget this much money to get through a right. September elk hunt.
Yep.
And I need to send out this much marketing material to make sure I have work when I get back. Stuff like that. I think it's often missed.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that think, oh, the only way I can quote unquote hunt all the time is if I'm working in the hunting industry or I'm hunting, quote unquote, hunting for a living, which is, it's hilarious to me because nobody gets paid to hunt. That's like a huge, like
no.
it's everyone is like, oh man, that's cool, Clint. You're basically getting paid to hunt.
This isn't the 1800s.
Yep. Nope.
The government's not.
I mean, you know, I get paid to write articles, podcasts, work with sponsors, work, you know, photography. No one actually pays me to go hunt Colorado mule deer. No one actually pays me to go shoot a whitetail. Like, nope, I'm not getting paid to hunt anything, actually. Like, and that's how it is. You know, Kurt just went full time with the podcast. My good buddy Bo Martonic, who was just on last week's podcast, he just went full time. You know, and us three, we always laugh about it. I'm like part time, you know, midway there. Everyone, oh, that's cool. You get paid to hunt. Nope, one penny of me is getting paid to hunt. You know, I get paid to do things in the industry, but I am not getting paid to hunt anything. Like, not
no. And I think a lot of people even probably look at like you guys, Kurt, Bo, all them guys, and they're like, oh, they pretty much just hunt for a living, or they get paid to hunt.
Right.
No, like,
nah.
Kurt is in the podcasting and communications industry. Yeah. He's in the networking industry.
Yep. Social media industry.
Yes.
Like what him and Bo do in a weekly basis on Instagram alone. Most people couldn't do all that in 3 months. And that's what they, you know, what they get accomplished in a week, most people wouldn't be able to do in 3 or 4 months if you made them do it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just on promoting the podcast for the week. You know, I mean, it's crazy what all entails there. But
yeah, I think the only guy that ever finishes a hunt and waits on a paycheck is a guide.
Yeah.
That is literally, and unless I'm missing some, maybe there's somebody out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't care if you're Jim Shockey or you're one of us guys,
mm-hmm.
Bo, any of them guys, unless I'm missing something, I don't think you're getting a paycheck at the end of a hunt. But when they finish a podcast, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing something that supports their passion. They're not trying to make it in their passion.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, all right, so you start advanced pressure washing. You got this business rolling. Now you're really getting into Western hunts. Now this is where I get all giddy to talk about because I can remember, you know, you bringing up, man, I think I'm going to go solo. I think I'm going to die. You know, and I remember us having a phone conversation. And I'm like, man, you just got to dive in and do it. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. I'm like, I think you'll love it. You know, so your love for Western hunting, you've grown up hunting whitetails, and very similar story to me. Whitetails, turkeys, sheds, that's all we knew. That's all we did. I found out what Western hunting was and fucking just became obsessed isn't even the right word for it, but that's just the word I'll use. It's all I think about. It's all I want to do. Spot and stock. I don't care if it's elk, mule deer, antelope, doesn't matter, whatever. You start to break into the Western thing, and I believe you and Logan went on a few hunts.
Yep.
And then the solo thing comes in, and that solo gig is cool because it's solo. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You don't have to rely on anybody else, and you don't have to base your time. You want to leave on a Wednesday and last minute change it to Tuesday night? You do it. You're going to come back Friday. You decide, fuck it, I'm staying till Sunday? You do it. You know, it's all based off of you, and I think that intrigued you because you're not having to worry about anybody else, but it's a big plunge. You know?
It is for sure.
It's a big plunge.
And I'll say, like something that helped me too, that I think might bring some value to people here is that like when I say I didn't have a whole lot of money jumping into my Western hunting, I didn't.
Right.
I wasn't like a sponsored hunter. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Same thing. I just wanted to go. I remember, My first Western hunt was me and Zach McCall went on a rifle antelope hunt.
Yep.
I had a connection out there. He was like, hey, apply for this unit. Go out here, you'll see goats. Mm-hmm. And we did. There's more goats than people.
Right.
We had a blast. We both shot goats.
The old speed goat.
Me and Zach McCall. Yeah. Yep. Had an absolute blast. But after going out there, I absolutely fell in love with that. And that was even like prairie flat land.
Oh, it wasn't even still mountains. An eye opener though.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Wyoming. And, so I was like, okay, I am coming back here every single year for the rest of my life.
Yep.
I don't care what happens.
Yep.
And, so fast forward, I think I skipped a year or two. And that was when I was like, just starting to bring the business up. And, now that I have the business, now I have a little bit of time. I had time, still not managing my money, but I had enough to where like I could make it work one way or another. So
yep.
I went through this like 2 or 3 step process to figure out what I want to hunt and how I can make it happen.
Yep.
And I looked at a couple things. I looked at what animal did I want to hunt? And that was a mule deer.
Yep.
They have the biggest antler to body ratio. They're everything about them. I loved them.
Kurt and I just did a podcast yesterday on you're either Team Kurt Whitetail or you're Team Clint Mule Deer. And at the end of it, he goes, God damn it. He goes, I think I'm on your team. He goes, and this is a debate. We're against each other. He goes, but you got me talked into, I might like mule deer better now. You know, and like we're laughing and joking, but it's hard to beat. I mean, in my opinion, like a giant mule deer is as cool as it gets. I mean,
oh yeah. I was telling my dad the other day, I was like, him and I went to dinner and I was telling my dad, like, anymore, after shooting a few mule deer, I sit in the tree stand and just beat my head off the tree because I'm like,
yeah,
God,
yeah.
I want a glass. Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah. I want to sit in glass.
And just
I wanna
go make a stalk, make a play. Yeah. Yeah. Bring the battle to them instead of waiting on them to bring it to you. I talked about that with Kurt. Like, that's what the adventure and everything that entails. It's a lifestyle. You're going to hunt mule deer, especially high country. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to run. You better watch what you eat. You better shoot. It's a whole year of you prepping you to go do that stuff. But
yeah, so after like narrowing it down, like I want to shoot a mule deer.
Yep.
I said, okay, I don't have a lot of money for gas. So what is the closest I can travel to shoot a mule deer?
Yeah.
And I Googled it. What's the closest I can shoot to shoot a mule deer to Ohio? And a bunch of high fence places come up.
Perfect.
Yeah.
$12,000 you can come shoot a 190 inch mule deer.
Yeah. So couldn't afford that either, clearly. So it was like, if I remember right, it was like North Dakota, South Dakota.
Right.
And Nebraska.
Nebraska, Kansas, probably something like that. Yep.
Those were like the closest states to Ohio that I could go to. I was like, okay, fuel wise to drive and travel, one of those states is where I need to go.
Right.
So then I looked at tag cost compared to availability.
Yeah.
How much does a tag cost? How easy is it going to be for me to get?
Yeah.
And long story short, I went through like North Dakota, I went through South Dakota, I went through Nebraska. I don't think I did a whole lot on Kansas, surprisingly, but I found out that South Dakota offers any deer over the counter. It's technically you have to apply for it, but I think you guys talked about this with the Buckstorm guys on the show.
Yeah, yep.
I remember listening to that.
Yep.
So they've talked about it before. It's a any deer, whitetail, doe, buck,
yep,
mule deer, doesn't matter. Archery tag, at the time it was like $286, I think it was.
Which is super cheap for a mule deer tag.
It was an archery tag, obviously. Crazy you don't get a cheap. Rifle with it. But so after running the numbers with everything, it was like, okay, I can South Dakota's the shortest drive. I can get a mule deer tag, guaranteed tag, for $286 with a bow. So I talked about it with a few friends, which you guys know, Justin Lindemood and Drew Harding.
Yep.
They went out with me on my first mule deer hunt.
I remember that.
I think it was their, I don't know about Drew, but I know Justin had been out west before, but I don't know if he'd hunted mule deer or not. But us three went out and that first trip was everything from a learning experience to a absolute blast.
Oh yeah.
I mean just it that trip really set in stone for how much I love Western bow hunting, mule deer specifically, because I mean hell, I think between the three of us we were there for like 6 days and we found I want to say we brought home like close to 30 sheds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, a lot of people aren't even doing that in a whole right. season
yeah.
in Ohio with whitetails, you know? And, but yeah, so I was able to narrow it down, and I mean, I did that hunt. I'm still doing that hunt to this day.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, that's like one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yep.
It took me for that first trip. That first trip, I shot a doe mule deer. My first mule deer was a doe. Second to the last day of the season, or of the hunt, I mean. And thank God it was within dragging distance of the truck, because I don't even think I had a frame pack. I had no clue what I was doing.
Throw it in your bag and go.
I didn't even
it.
Think about it. Right. I remember, like, looking back, I think about that hunt. I'm like, geez, had I killed an actual, like, decent mule deer 4 or 5 miles from the truck? I don't know what I'd have done.
Just bear hug a quarter and carry it back.
Yeah, I think I had like a Walmart Alps pack. Yeah. Shoved the fucking grunt call and some powdered coffee or something in there. I don't remember. I don't even know what the hell I had. But
that's funny.
Yeah, maybe some electric tape. I feel like I always pack that. But, yeah, so learned a lot on that hunt. Had an absolute blast with them guys. And I continued to go back every year. The following year, Logan Sellers ended up started coming with me. And
right.
I'll say the first three years of going out there, I didn't shoot a buck. But mm-hmm. we learned more each time.
Yep.
And took away from the hunt each time, and fast forward to year four.
I mean, that's all part of it, especially when you go from Ohio hunting to Western hunting. I mean, it's a big, big, big learning curve. You know, I mean, it's a totally different style. It's a totally different. The whole hunt is completely different.
And it goes back to correlating with business as well. Like, it's the same thing. You have to learn what works and invest heavily in it, figure out what doesn't work. And if you watch Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary would tell you to take it out back and shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, figure out what doesn't work, quit doing it immediately, take the effort you were doing that you were using on that thing and apply it to what is working.
Right.
And you'll set yourself up for success by gradually doing this over the time. And I've done that in my business, and I've done that in Western bow hunting, learning how to do that as well.
Like,
you figure shit out slower. I'm constantly telling myself, move slower.
Oh, yeah.
You can never move slow enough.
Yep.
And you
oh, I get it.
I'm sitting here in my mind, picturing all the bucks that I jumped.
It was, it was my fourth different unit in Colorado till I scored, you know, and I mean, and it was, those first 2 years, I mean, the stupidity of not knowing any better, the fuck ups I made on some really, really good deer, like, I'd do anything to have those opportunities back.
Oh my gosh.
And I just didn't know any better, you know. Yep. I just didn't know, you know.
Yeah, you beat yourself up over it, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, all right, did I really even...
Right. Yep.
You can't go back and change it.
Now,
so.
What year did you jump into the solo deal? Because I know that was something that really intrigued you, and you were really looking forward to, like, being like, hey, I'm just going to dive in and do it. I might like it, might hate it. We're going to find out. Because that's really the only way you're going to find out. You know, I can tell someone how much they might love it or hate it. You could tell someone, now that you've done it, hey, how much you might love or hate. But until you actually go dive into solo hunting, when you're states and states and, you know, 20, 30 hours away from home, like, it's all on you. It's different. It's very different.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where it's like, I had the time off.
Right.
And I was like, I have the point. I want to use it. Nobody else. I would have went with somebody else, but right. I didn't know anybody else, or not so much of a people person. Maybe I knew some people, but I just don't like people enough that I wanted to go with.
So you said, fuck it. I'm just going
to. Yeah. So I was like, well, fuck it. I can draw this tag in Wyoming. And odds are low. It was a general mule deer tag, but I wanted to go. And I love being outside of my comfort zone more than being in it. So I jumped in, drew that. That was, I want to say that was 2019.
That sounds about right.
2019 or 2020.
That sounds about right, 2019.
Because it wasn't that long ago, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep. I just decided, fuck it, I'm going to get the tag, and I got the tag, and it wasn't like a true backcountry hunt. I did stay in my camper, the camper Logan and I built, and I had a few days where I stayed backcountry, mm-hmm. but...
still, though, you're on your own.
I was still by myself. I went for just about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Long time.
Yep. And we were talking about this morning. It was on the second or third day of the hunt. Well, before I even get to that, I'll just say I pulled up for the first day of the hunt. And what I pulled into, what I thought was going to be like nobody here. I pulled into
surprise
Memorial Day weekend or, yeah. or whatever that weekend is.
Labor Everybody Day. And their fucking brothers there.
I forget what weekend it was. Yeah. It was some holiday weekend. By God, there was 30. I think I counted like 30 some campers all in like a fucking corral in a big circle. And everybody had a razor and a four wheeler. And I'm up there to bow hunt.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not good. But, so I had to travel away from all them, and on the second or third day of the hunt, I had ran into some other guys. Thankfully, I found some other guys that were elk hunters. Hopefully, they listened to this. I have not talked to them since. They were awesome. Before they shot elk, and before they left, they filled my camper full of any food they had left over and left, and I never talked to them again. It was super thankful.
Shout out to those guys. That's nice.
Fuck yes, dude.
That's nice.
I went from eating like...
nothing to
hot dogs and freeze-dried foods or whatever, rehydrated foods to fucking lasagna. They had, oh my God, they hooked me up with a bunch of homemade food. But,
that's badass. That's
it awesome. Was, dude. I came back from a hunt at night and I opened my freezer to grab like whatever was in there because I had a little generator and
yeah.
I brought a little freezer and I opened it up, dude. It was just stacked to the top full of homemade meals.
That's awesome.
It was sweet, yeah. And I never got their number. I don't even remember their name. But, yeah, that second or third morning, I had got away from the crowd, and I was sneaking up. I finally found some decent deer. They were bedded up. There was two decent mule deer, probably, to me at the time, they were going to be my first mule deer, probably 135 to 140 bucks. Bedded up on the edge of this, like, small, short pine field, and I found there was, like, one trail that went up to... it was on the downwind side. It was perfect. I was going to go up this trail. I'd be about 60 yards behind him. And as I was crawling up that, not crawling, but as I was sneaking up that trail, I had my bow in my hand. I happened to look up in front of me and like coming down the hillside in front of me, I saw just this figure running.
Mm-hmm.
And first thought was just because being an Ohio boy, I'm like, oh, cool, coyote. And within like a fraction of a second, it dawned on me that it was a mountain lion.
And it's not a coyote.
No, it's not.
At this point, you're really hoping, though, it was a coyote.
Yes. And so this mountain lion's running down the same trail I'm on. I don't know why he was running, but he was running right at me. And all I had on me was my bow and this, like, old-ass 357 revolver.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I don't even know why I had it. It was just extra weight for no reason. I wasn't going to hit shit.
I was going to say, that's a heavy gun.
Dude, it was like an old fucking Western revolver. I wasn't going to hit shit with it. I don't know why I had it. Maybe to shoot myself if I got attacked.
Before you get killed, mauled to death, I'll just shoot myself.
Put myself out. That's why I brought it.
And that's great. I mean, it would make a loud bang. Maybe that scared it. I mean...
fuck. That's all it would have done. Yeah, I fucking dropped my bow. Your old bow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I did tell you that, yeah.
I fucking dropped my bow and pulled that pistol out, and I'm yelling and screaming and pointing this thing at it, and it runs right down at me, same trail, stops about 15 feet in front of me and sits down, and I'm yelling and screaming, and finally it takes off, turns around the other way and ran. But, dude, that put me... it was so hard to hunt the rest of the trip.
I bet.
2.5 weeks ahead of me, and the second day I have a mountain lion within 15 feet of me, and I was that was a solo trip. So I was by myself for about 2.5 weeks, and yeah, dude, it was
What'd you think, though, overall? I mean, solo-wise. I mean, I know what you thought, but, I mean, what, you
know. I think you go through this mindset shift about a week, like 5 to 7 days in. You go through this mindset shift of, like, okay, that initial excitement that was driving you of, like, okay, yeah, I'm finally here. That only gets you so far.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you get to, like, day six.
It wears off quick, honestly.
Yes. Especially when you're not seeing shit. We weren't seeing shit. Or I guess not we. I wasn't. But that hunt was just, it was just terrible altogether as far as, like, seeing deer. And so day five or six or whatever, like, that initial excitement of being there and everything, that motivation has just died at that point. And it's like you have this mindset shift of, like, okay, it's, I'm not running on adrenaline and excitement anymore.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, you're in the war now.
I have to physically tell myself to keep going because it's 90 degrees. I'm not seeing deer. I'm hearing four-wheelers and people everywhere. And I had every reason in the book to not want to keep going. But luckily, like day, I think it was day seven or eight, I packed up, left that campground after them other hunters left. Because I was like just by myself up there with no deer, no nothing, no motivation.
You had a mountain lion up there, though.
I did have a mountain lion. I did have a mountain lion and a bunch of lasagna. So I sat there on Onyx that last night. I sat there on Onyx and luckily I found this area, like, it was like an hour and a half northeast or northwest of where I was. I was like, well, I'll just go up there. And I went up there and sure as shit, I got into deer and I still didn't end up shooting one, but I'm super grateful that I'd kind of realized that I was losing motivation. I was like, right, I had to make a change. Like, something has to change and nobody's going to change it for me.
Yeah. Sometimes a change is like what the mind needs. Just a good mindset shift. Yeah.
Sure. I went up to that new area and sure enough, dude, there was elk bugling everywhere. Yep. Like, it was big bulls, big 320 plus bulls and bugling every morning. Like, that was awesome. And then on top of that, I was actually getting into deer and seeing deer. And I met another hunter there that I still keep in contact with to this day.
Oh, that's cool.
Being alone by yourself, which, like I said, you get that day six, day seven. It's tough.
Oh, it is. So coming full circle now, you know, in your opinion, I mean, what's the best way to sum up, like, what your business, you know, Advanced Pressure Washing, what it's done for you in the change in your life, where you're at? I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, you are happier with where you're at because of the freedom it gives you, what it allows you to do. Like, you know, looking back now, it's kind of like, man, I chased a dream to then allow myself to go chase other dreams. The dreams, I might have my own business, be successful, and then go chase my hunting dreams. Like, how's that all kind of tie in now? Like, okay, you've been doing this for 6-7 years. Here you are now. You know, like, is it kind of everything you thought it was going to be? More or less? I mean...
In some aspects more, in some aspects less.
Yeah.
I will say that I quit that job at NK Morris to take the business full time. And like I said, that first few years, I was just having fun living on whatever little, like, I could make $1,000 a week power washing houses. I was happy on that. And that was all great. But a few years went by and I realized that, okay, if this is like going to support me for the rest of my life, I have to actually scale this into something that's going to work for me. And doing that was like, I went from quitting the job because I didn't have enough time to do things I love to now working 24/7. I'm always not working. I'm always working. But nothing good in life, in my opinion, nothing good in life comes easy.
Right.
I think I agree with that. Yeah, I think that if you're going to receive something good, some sort of satisfaction, there was some sort of work put behind it. And that's where I'm at now is like I've worked so hard for 3-4 years that I'm able to step back, relax, take a month off if I want, take a week off if I want. I took last winter. I spent 2.5 months in Florida.
Down in Florida, yeah.
I literally skipped winter this
Cole
past
wasn't
year.
Chasing whitetails or mule deer around down there, but he was probably, I'm sure, chasing something.
No, I was giant grouper. Dude, yeah. I caught fucking.
Yeah, you did. I do remember the pictures.
100-pound grouper with my uncle and sharks, and I caught. I have so much sheephead in my freezer. So it's like, you know, I built something that supports the lifestyle that I want, and
yep.
I think that's very doable for many people out there.
Yep.
It's not going to be easy, but it will be very rewarding if you're willing to find out what's working,
yep.
reinvest in it, find out what isn't working.
Weather the storms.
Yep. Yeah, if you can overcome the adversity and just keep going through the hard times, there's definitely good times on the end yep. of it. But
light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of the American dream, you know. I mean, for guys that will come to me, man, you know, I'd love to have more time to hunt. I'd love to, you know, okay, well, a lot of that's going to be a life change of some sort, a sacrifice change. And I mean, and you know, I mean, I don't care if it's a job, relationships, whatever. I mean, you're not going to do, quote unquote, what you want to do and have everything just come easy and handed to you. I mean, that's just not how it works. You know,
no.
I mean, I've missed out on a lot of things chasing the hunting dream and wanting to be a writer and wanting to be in the industry and make a decent living at that and having the freedom to do that. You know, you quit what a job that a lot of people would give to have. Well, you know, they'd give a lot to have, but it just wasn't giving you what you needed out of life. So you had to freaking make a change. And a lot of people, you know, they live in this box and they don't ever want to leave the box. You know, man,
oh,
I
yeah.
would love to do what Cole does, but ooh, God, I'd have to quit my job and start doing that. Oh, fuck. Nope, nope, nope. Not going to do it. And then 30 years go by and that same person's the guy that's like, wow, my life's almost over or it's half over or whatever. I really wish I would have took that plunge and went and did what Cole did or what Clint did or Kurt or, you know, it go chased what I wanted to chase as far as dreams and what, like you said earlier, whatever your passion is, I don't give a shit if it's skateboarding or bow hunting or fucking whatever you want to do, you know, but if you don't have time to do it, how are you ever going to enjoy it? And people that say, oh man, I'd love to hunt more, but I just don't have the lifestyle to do it. I mean, no one's got a gun realistically to your head that's making you stay in that box. You can leave the box.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, they're scared to death. Here's what I know. Here's what I do. I just can't fucking leave the box. And it's like, if you only live in that box, what you're getting is what you're getting. No one's going to come put anything in your box. No one's going to come hand you another box. Like, that's it. You got your box. You live in the box. And that's... that's it, you know. And
yeah,
for me, the box, people thought I was nuts. I gave up a county job, which is a, you know, county highway, which is a state job. You know, you're fucking crazy. I wanted to farm. I wanted to be in the hunting industry doing, you know, doing the writing, doing the podcast. You know, now this job, it's cool for me because this job works out great working for you. I can power wash 7-8 hours a day, and then I can still go farm, still do my hunting stuff. So with the kids, it works out great. Like, but it took me a long time to put all these pieces together. And the first year I quit the county, it was a shell shock. Because for 10 years, I was used to this. I am getting this much money every week, whether I'm at work or I'm not at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that. Here's the set amount. This is what I'm getting. I'm getting benefits. I'm getting time off. But the problem was, it just wasn't enough. And I wanted the freedom of, hey, when I want to go, I'm going to go. When I want to do that, you know, I wanted more. And in order to get more, I had to leave my box that was that job of 10 years. I had to leave the box. It's scary to leave the box. But now, because I've left that, opportunities like this podcast only happen because Kurt and Eric know I've got the time to put into this. The writing opportunities, that stuff all has taken place because I left the box. For you, it's the same deal. Like, you've got all these opportunities now with your business. You got lots of big trips planned coming up in the near future. Lots of things you want to go hunt. You're building points. You're doing this. You're doing that. Could you have still done that working at MK? not saying you couldn't have, but it would have been a very small scale compared to what you're doing now. You ain't leaving for 3 weeks at working there. No. And having a job when you get back.
No.
They'd tell you real quick, go ahead and go. We'll send you your last paycheck. Adios, amigo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's like, a lot of people live in the comfort zone.
Yep.
And they think that, like, okay, I'm happy here. I like what I do, and maybe do, whatever. But I guarantee you, deep down, you want more. You might not say you want, but
everybody does. Yeah, naturally, it's human nature.
Exactly, it's human nature. We always want more.
Right,
and you don't learn anything in the comfort zone when you're just living there comfortably. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. There's no such thing as being static with something.
Yep.
In life, hobbies, business, skills, learning anything. There's no such thing as just being static, staying right there. You're either getting better or you're getting worse.
Yep.
And so many people are sitting in that box just getting worse. And there's a lot of opportunity out there. And you got to step outside your comfort zone because that's where you're going to learn. It's where you're going to learn new things. You're going to fail, but that's all right. If you look at statistically the most successful people in the world, they're not successful because they've had more success than anybody else. They've had more success than anybody else because they failed more than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's the reality of it, is if you want more out of life, you got to fail more and learn from it.
I mean, a lot of people settle. And I mean, I've used that as my like hashtag and slogan on this podcast. Yeah. I close every one of them out with, hey, you guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. And that's for life. That's for bow hunting. That's for
women.
Whatever. I mean, anything. I mean, you know, a relationship. I mean, anything that you do, if you're settling, I mean, you're going backwards, realistically.
Yeah. I mean, just like my Western bow hunting. Like, I went to South Dakota 4 years in a row, or 3 years in a row, and didn't kill a nice buck. And now here we are, year four.
Yep.
I've learned a lot. Year before last was year four. I shot a really nice buck.
Yep.
Really awesome mule deer. And the following year, this past year, I shot another mule deer back to back. So I went 3 years of not killing anything to 2 years in a row now killing nice deer. Yep.
Figuring it out and learning and
like it's going to take some trial and error, but
being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a big one. Well, cool. I can't thank you enough for having you on. Give us a rundown. You've got a couple different things going on. Like, where can people find you if they want to follow you? If the business, as far as, you know, social media and different things, give people a quick rundown on, hey, here's the business stuff. Here's my stuff. You got a cool personal page that you run on your own yourself, just with what you do and your hunts and different things. You're always out doing something cool. So give us a rundown.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, I'm going to give a shameless plug for my business because
absolutely,
if you're in Northeast Ohio, anywhere in Ohio.
I'd be ashamed of you if you didn't.
Yeah. Well, and like you heard, Clint's working with me now here. So good chance you might get a meet and greet if you refer us some business.
A rub and tug, meet and greet, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
I don't know if I'll give you a discount, but I'll give you a meet and greet with Clint, and maybe he can pump out a sticker for you or something.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
No, we'd do some sort of deal for you. Anybody in Northeast Ohio, or if it's large enough, anywhere in Ohio, we do everything from large commercial power washing. We've done hotels. We have a hotel cleaning coming up here in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
We did a warehouse a month ago, about it was 287,000 square foot.
A big warehouse. It's going to be a TSC, right?
Tractor Supply,
TSC warehouse, yep.
So. Support Tractor Supply.
I think
it's coming from us that we clean that building.
There you go.
And so anything from large commercial down to power washing, soft washing, residential homes, window cleaning, gutter cleanouts, concrete cleaning and sealing.
Brand new window system that's real badass.
It is.
Not to brag, but it's pretty legit.
It is, and I need to get more jobs with it so we can justify what I paid for this fucking thing.
Call us, we'll come do your windows.
Yeah. And so that's company name is Advanced Power Washing, Advanced Pressure Washing, I think is what it actually says on Google. My phone number, call, text me, I don't care, 330-933-2706.
Christ, the ladies are going nuts now. Jesus.
Oh, after they see the Instagram, they might.
Oh, my God.
Know.
Here we go. Fuck.
The Instagram, boy, I almost have to look. But I think it's Cole.Sikafoos. My last name is Sikafoos, S-I-C-K-A-F-O-O-S-E. Facebook, same thing.
And you've got the Instagram for the business.
Oh, yeah. Business Instagram is advanced.pressure.washing, yeah. Maybe, I think. Yeah. But always posting quality shit on the business page.
Yeah, and I'll add a link. Well, I should say Kurt will, he does all the bios and the links and stuff, but I'll make sure he adds that in there. Links to yeah. Like the Instagram and the business and whatnot. So.
And I'll say, too, if anybody out there, if anybody in the WC network here, WCB network, if you have a business idea or you have something that you're looking to move forward with and you're mm-hmm. just nervous about it, or if it's even a power washing company, maybe you already started a power washing company on the side and you're just looking for a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help. I've learned a lot. I'm an open book when it comes to helping people. The feeling you get when you help somebody is
yep.
next to shooting it. It's not quite like shooting a big mule deer, but
it's close
to shooting a big yep. mule deer. So I'm an open book when it comes to helping anybody with getting your business up and going and finding out some new systems and things we can implement to get you moving and hopefully get you to where you're taking a month off in September to try to hunt some elk.
Elk, so mule deer, antelope, whitetails,
reach
whatever.
Out to me. Fax me. Email
Hell,
me.
Even sext him. He doesn't care.
Sext me.
Hey, sext me. Well, Cole, it's been fun, my man. Glad you got to have you on. It's been a long time coming. I definitely appreciate what you've done for me as far as the opportunity. It's we have a hell of a good time. We always joke around every morning and say, well, today's going to be a good day. We're going to get to go spray water. And
it never is. We've yet to have a good day.
You know what? Today was a good day, though. We're sitting here. We're drinking Busch beer and doing a podcast.
It was.
So,
1 o'clock on a Friday.
1 o'clock. I'm going to go leave here, and I got one final field of beans to plant. I got 18 acres standing in front of me, and that's it for planting for the year. Damn. Pretty excited about that, being that it's almost July. So, yeah, that I'm about 3 weeks out, but with the rain and shit. So that's what I'm going to go do. Cole's probably going to jump on the old computer machine and either do marketing or do some type of paperwork behind the scenes bullshit that I don't have to do, thank God. I'm just the guy that sprays water. So with that being said, hey, appreciate you guys. Got some great episodes coming down the pipe. I can't say who, but speaking on the mule deer trend, I got a legend in that game coming up in the next week or two. I've also got some really good early season whitetail stuff coming down the pipe for you guys since that is the season. So be on the lookout. Appreciate all the support. You guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. And go give Cole a call about the business you're going to start so that way you can hunt all the time. There it is.
Can you
Boom.
Save the leisure seat?
See ya.
Files.